then, and we moved from Alice Springs. We felt our time in Alice Springs was up, and so we moved last year to Brisbane. And so it was actually very different for us, and living in the territory for over 20 years and then moving into a city. And it was like, wow, culture shock. And but praise God. And so that's really good. And we've just returned from the United States, and the reason for that was our youngest daughter, our middle child, she's 19, she got married. And so she met a young man who's from a missionary family when she was at Bible school, and fell in love and jumped through all the hoops, and she's over in the United States right now and happily married. And we do have another daughter, Larissa, and she's in Melbourne, and she's an evangelist, and she ministers down to the Muslims in Fitzroy area, up in the flats and that, if you know Fitzroy at all. And she's quite very courageous and a very loving person, and moves in the gifts and power of the Holy Ghost. But she'll sit by you and hold your hand and cry with you. And she's just marvelous. And so Sarah, she's a missionary as well. She's been overseas prior to getting married. And then we've got a 17-year-old boy who's doing homeschooling, year 12. And we used to joke, we actually joked only a few weeks ago with him, because I said to him, I said, do you remember what you used to say that you wanted to be when you grew up? And he said, no. I said, do you remember you used to tell us that you wanted to be a policeman and a pastor? He said, yes, that's right. And I said, do you remember the reasons why? He said, no. And his reason from when he was a little fella like this was he wanted to be a policeman and a pastor so that he could shoot people and help them. and he laughed. He said, I remember. And he loves music. But anyway, so thank you for having me, Pastor Gary and Ruth. It's good to be here, everyone. So have you got your Bibles with you? Praise God. I'm off to, where did I say I was going? Romania. In 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I'll be in Romania. I'll be there for at least a month, and averaging 2 to 3 meetings a day and going all through.
When you get to catch up with Tim and Joe
Kay
over there?
No idea. Oh, okay. Well, you give me some info and we'll see. Okay, yep. Same continent, yeah. And yeah, and so I'll be there for at least 4 weeks. So, yeah, going from Hungary and all the way down to the Black Sea. And we have a friend of ours who's an apostle there, and he's asked me to come over and assist him. So I'll be heading over there. And, yeah, so very busy, going through many, many towns and preaching the gospel. So praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you got your Bibles with you? You all said yes, whether it's one of these or one of these or even smaller. So praise God. Well, I want to talk to you this morning. This is a teaching out of one of a series I do on prayer. And I just felt impressed with the Lord to talk to you this morning about prayer. And in fact, it's one of my favorite things is to pray. And one of the reasons I love driving so much is that I get time to pray. And so I just love praying as I drive. Take every opportunity to pray that I can. And so I've learned a few things in prayer, and I'd just like to share that with you this morning. And really, it's about praying for the lost. Oftentimes, with sincerity of heart, we can pray for things and then wonder why maybe things just don't work or things aren't being changed by my prayers, because I was really sincere when I prayed and I really felt like I touched God's heart when I prayed, but yet sometimes things can just remain the same. And you know, Jesus in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, I think is a remarkable statement, and I'll read it to you. And it says here, "And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And when I read that, I think, you know, that's amazing, because there was something about the way that Jesus prayed that caused his disciples to sit up and take notice. And there was a way that he prayed. Was it something that he felt? Well, maybe it was. Maybe the anointing was present. But I think it was more than that. I think they heard him pray, and then when they saw him minister and they saw what happened, they were putting two and two together. They were going, well, this is what he was praying, and this is what was happening. And so they had, as Jewish men, they had learnt to pray. They had learnt to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had, you know, with the Feast of Israel, they had presented themselves to the Lord at least once a year at the temple there, and they had learnt to pray. In fact, they were taught by their local rabbi how to pray, and they should have had their own prayer life. It's not something that's unique just to the born-again believer. But there was something about Jesus' prayer life that got their attention. And I think that for you and I, that there's something about prayer that we just don't want it to be a time waster, but we want it to accomplish something. And so when we talk about prayer, we can think of it in a... and you see I'm in a real teaching mode this morning. But that when we think about prayer, that we can think of different types of prayer, like we were having praise and worship before. But even when you're driving in your car and you begin to talk to the Lord, really any type of communication to the Lord in heaven is prayer. And it's a way of communicating. But when they spoke to Jesus and said, "We've seen you pray. Can you teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray?" And from there we see that Jesus launched into teaching them the Our Father. Now, I suppose in one respect you could say that most of the Christian church has taken the prayer, Our Father, to one extent, and I think they've taken it to the extent where they have made it the be-all and end-all of all prayer. And whereas I don't believe that's what it was, that's where Jesus began to teach them to pray. You see, prayer, as like you would have learnt, is many things that you learn to do. And the more you find out about prayer, the more skilled you become. And so they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so it was a desire of their heart to pray and to pray successfully. Well, what is successful prayer? Answered prayer. Didn't Jesus tell his disciples to pray in my name, in the name of Jesus, so that your joy can be full? You see, joy in prayer comes from answered prayer. Amen? Praise God. In Luke 18 and verse 1, I'll give you a few scriptures this morning. And Jesus, he spoke a parable to his disciples. And he said that men always ought to pray and to not lose heart. And so a real and alive prayer life has to do with you lasting the journey of your Christian walk while you're here on the earth. That you're to pray and to not lose heart. And Romans 12 and verse 12, he said, "To rejoice in hope, being patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer, or else always being ready to pray." And we look at that and we think, gee, patient in tribulation. That was Romans 12 and verse 2. I can give you these notes after. And then we see a wonderful scripture that we're all familiar with in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And he says, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and I think it's one of our favourite scriptures on prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And one of the most common things that Paul mentions through all of his letters to the church is actually how he prayed. And so for you and me as believers, that's something that we should be learning to do in our life and in our prayer life. And it's not something that we should just be learning to do, but it's something that we can improve at. And if you can look at it like this, when you first went to school, that, you know, learning 1 + 1 was a big deal. But once you learned the basic principles of mathematics, that laid a foundation for you to learn all other types of mathematics. And me, I just stuck with the basic principles. And but it's the same in many things. And so you can learn the basic principles, but the basic principles will allow you to learn a lot more. But without the principles that are basic, it's like a house. It's wonderful to look at a fantastic house, but the house won't stand unless it's got a good foundation. And I'm sure that as children that all of us built things that didn't have a foundation. And what happened? Somebody come along and bumped it like a house of cards, you know? Anyone ever build a house of cards? Yeah. You know, I remember I did that with all frustration when somebody came along and just blew on it and over it fell. And you might think that that's what a prayer life can be like sometimes, and it can be very frustrating because of all sincerity of heart, you want to be able to pray and see change come into people's lives. Praise God. And so when the disciples said to Jesus in Luke chapter 11 there, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples, they were saying that how you pray changes things. And we want to be able to pray the same way. And so he began to teach them the Our Father. But then through the rest of the New Testament, we see a gradual unfolding of prayer and how to pray. It's throughout the whole of the scriptures, but we're only just going to look at a few here this morning. And so we understand that we have been given the name of Jesus in prayer. And I think one of the most startling revelations that you can ever receive when it comes to the name of Jesus is that God gave us Jesus' name to take Jesus' place. Can you say amen? One of the most wonderful revelations you can ever get is that you have the name of Jesus to be in Jesus' place. And so where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so Jesus is with us in the power of his name. Hallelujah. And he says that I will be as real in your midst as I was with the disciples in my name. Praise God. And so we understand that with the name of Jesus, that we can unlock heaven's resources, if we can put it like that. That God can be brought on the scene. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so when it comes to prayer, today what we can just have a look at together is praying for the lost. We all know people that aren't saved. And we may have been praying for people for many years to come to the knowledge of the truth, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a way for us to learn to pray that we know is effective. Praise God. Is it better to go hunting, you know, with a shotgun or with a single bullet, you know, with a rifle that shoots with a single bullet? Well, it depends what you're aiming for, right? If you're wanting to get a flock of flying birds like ducks or something, then take a shotgun, right? But if you're wanting to get a kangaroo, and some people might get upset that I'm saying this, but hey, if you're going out to shoot kangaroo for food or something like that, well, go for it. And I'm from the bush, okay? And so, you know, it's no use hunting kangaroo with a shotgun. You need something that is specifically tasked to do the job at hand. And so that's what we're going to be looking at here in the Word of God. So with some of these things in mind, I want us to let's turn over to, because I've got a lot of notes, but I don't want to overload you. And let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. Praise God. And while you're finding Mark 16, you can also go and find Daniel chapter 9. Praise God. Daniel is towards the end of the Old Testament. And in fact, I'll go there first. Now, one of the things that we find in the Word of God, the Scripture tells us that the Lord watches over His Word to fulfill it or to complete it. All right? And when it comes to prayer, there is one thing to pray your opinion, but it's another thing to find out what God has to say about prayer and to pray that. And we see a wonderful example of this in the book of Daniel and the 9th chapter, and starting at verse 1. And he says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of this reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years by which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." And so Daniel had been studying the word, and he had gotten the book of the prophet Jeremiah, and he had seen where it was prophesied that Jerusalem, that the children of Israel would go into captivity, and that it was 70 years punishment had been set against been set on them by the Lord. You know, they didn't let the land rest over a period of 490 years. They was meant to let it rest 1 year and seven, and they never did. And so the Lord said, "I'm going to take you out of the land as punishment, and the land can rest for that 70 years. And so Daniel was studying the Word of God, and he saw something. He saw that the 70 years was up. And this is something that you and I need to understand, is that when it comes for you in prayer, it's one thing to pray what an opinion might be, but it's something entirely different to find out what the will of God is and then to pray God's will. Amen? Amen. And so let's have a look at that here. And so starting at verse 3, it says, "And so Daniel," he says, "and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord God." And so what happened is that Daniel saw that it was time for them to be released from captivity and to return to Jerusalem. And so he began to pray what God's will was. You see? And so he began to lift up the need of the people. And the way that he did it was that prayer and supplication, fasting and sackcloth. And it says in verse 4, "He prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, he keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Well, that's all quotations out of the Psalms. He said, "We have sinned and have committed great sin. And we've done wickedly, and we've rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments." And so he began to pray. And if you look at the story of Daniel, you find that at the end of Daniel chapter 9 is the single greatest prophecy that had been delivered to anyone up until that time, where the angel Gabriel came to Daniel in response to his prayers and gave the history the history of the nation of Jerusalem, of the nation of Israel, including when the Messiah would be born and when he would die to the exact day. And so praise God. And so that we see that Daniel, he took the word of God that he had and he prayed that up to the Lord in prayer. And so the Lord responded to his praying. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. Here in Mark, the 16th chapter, something that we come to realize is that God will always work with his word. That's the one thing that he'll always work with. Hallelujah. And so here in Mark chapter 16, very famous section of scripture, the Great Commission from Mark's reporting of it, starting at verse 15, and it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every man and woman and child. And he that believes the gospel and is baptized shall be saved, and he that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so let's keep reading. And so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So I want you to notice here in verse 20 that the in my version of the Bible, in the King James, the word them is in italics, which means it's not there in the original language, but it was added by the translators to help give clarity to what we were reading. But I want you to notice something with this in mind. In verse 20 it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Well, what did they preach? What they had been instructed to. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and he that believes shall be saved. And so they went out and preached Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. Right? So they went out and they did that. And Jesus said that these signs would follow those that believe. He said that they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So these were the signs that were to follow the preaching of the gospel. Okay? And so in verse 20, we're looking at what happened from heaven's perspective. He says, so they went forth and they preached that gospel everywhere. And then it says this, and the Lord worked with and confirming the word with signs following. And so the Lord worked with the word that they preached. You see, Jesus said, go out and preach this. And so they went out and they preached that. And so it says that the Lord worked with the word that they preached and confirmed the word that they preached with signs following. Well, what signs followed the preaching of the word? Demons came out, the sick were healed, they spoke with new tongues, and I imagine if they were poisoned or if they could take up any deadly thing, it didn't hurt them, like Paul when he was bitten by that snake. And so what I want you to see here is that Jesus worked with what they preached. And what did they preach? They preached the word. And so it says the Lord worked with the word. Praise God. And so we saw in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1, 2 and 3 in that whole chapter is that Daniel saw what was written in the prophet Jeremiah, and then he began to pray what Jeremiah had prophesied. And then the Lord sent the answer according to the word. And so you and me as Christians, what we need to learn to do is that we need to learn to pray the scriptures, the word of God. Hallelujah. And why do we do that? Is because the wonderful example is given to us here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. It says, when they went forth and preached, that the Lord worked with the word. Okay? And so when you go out and you share the gospel with somebody, whether it's your neighbor in the street, whether it's the guy at the service station, somebody at school, the Lord will work with the word that you give. Well, how will he work? Well, from heaven he will work through the power of his name with signs following. Hallelujah. And so there's some scripture that you can look at also in Isaiah chapter 55. And let's just turn over there. And in the book of the prophet Isaiah, this isn't in my notes, but I'm just reminded of it. Starting at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. And he says this. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Well, we all agree with that, right? He says this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So you notice the example the Lord's giving. He says, my ways are much higher than your ways. He says, your thoughts, my thoughts are greater than your thoughts, higher. And he said, as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, right? What happens when it waters the earth? It causes the earth to bring forth and bud, right? It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at verse 11. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. So praise God. And so that gives us an idea that when we want to come before the Lord, he says that my word is just like the rain that comes down from heaven. I mean, another part of scripture, it says, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock? There's so many scriptures that you can look at with the word of God and prayer. And so here we see that, again, another scripture that tells us that God's word, that when it's sent forth into the earth, it will be just like the rain of heaven. The rain in the desert brings life. And he says that my word that comes forth out of my mouth. Well, you see, he's put his word here in the scriptures now. We don't have to go and find Jeremiah the prophet. We don't have to go and find Hosea. You know, we don't have to go and find Moses. But God has given us his word now between the book of Genesis to Revelation. And he says, so is my word that it shall come forth out of my mouth. Well, he wants now you to put his word into your heart and let it come forth out of your mouth. And this is how to put God's will into your prayer life. If you're praying and you say, well, I'm not sure what the will of the Lord is, the simplest question to ask yourself is, what does the Bible say? And if I'm going to pray God's will, I need to know what his word says. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, where am I? And so bless the Lord. And so when it comes to praying for the lost, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, he said, harvest truly is great, and the laborers there, only a few of them. He said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So praise God. And so that's one of the things that we know when it comes to praying for the lost. You see, so we want to bring our direction when we pray out of the word of God. Because if we know that we're praying God's will, then we know that he's heard our prayers. Can you say amen? Okay, and that's in 1 John chapter 5. He says that if we pray according to his will, then we know that he hears us and that he has granted the petition that we have desired of him. Well, the petition that we've desired of him doesn't really speak of personal prayer, like something that you have need of in your life, but you would normally go and ask the Lord for something on behalf of somebody else. And that is like a petition. And so, you know, it would be me going and taking or going and doing something on behalf of somebody else. And so praise God. And so what are some of the scriptures that we can use when it comes to praying for the lost? These are some of my favorite scriptures. And I'll give them to you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 20 is probably my favorite that I've found in the Word. And it reads this. But Isaiah is very bold and he says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask after me. Do you know anybody like that? They just don't want to know. Don't want to know. Not interested. You can't even get Jesus out of your mouth. They see you coming and they head the other direction because they know that somehow God's going to come up in the conversation. And so that's it in Romans chapter 10 and verse 20. Then there's another scripture that you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. And Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he says this, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so that's a very exciting scripture for me when I read that. He says that if our gospel is hid, it's hidden to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their minds lest they should see the gospel. So could you imagine, and my torch is in the car, but a simple way to demonstrate this is it would be that if I had Pastor Gary, if you want to come up here for a moment, and so if Gary was somebody who didn't know the Lord, you can just take that and hold that up in front of your face. And the scripture says here, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who don't believe. But you see, but Paul said this, and I've only got a little light on this device. Where is it? He said, however, he goes on and he says this. Praise God. And my torch isn't working. Or else I would shine a torch onto Gary. But you see, what it is that if our gospel is hid, it's hidden to those that are lost because the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they can't see, right? But this is the wonderful thing that he says. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, would shine unto them. For we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. So they preach Christ Jesus the Lord. But he makes this remarkable statement in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So even though the gospel is hid to their mind, he says that God has shone the light of the gospel into their heart. You see, so it doesn't matter that the mind is blinded. What matters is that when you share the gospel, it gets the heart. Irrespective of the blindness, this is where the gospel reaches. It gets into the heart. You see that? And so that's what's happened to us, is that when we had the gospel shine into our hearts, we were all blinded, right? All of us were blinded. But you see, somebody shared the gospel, and even though we were blind, it shone where it was meant to shine, in the heart of man. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can have a seat. Now, I'll give you an example of that. The Lord said to me one time, and he said to me, and I saw this in the scripture, and he said, Des, he said, I want you to begin to pray this, and I'll show you how it works. And I said, okay. And so I began to pray this before the Lord for people. And I did this with some other scriptures as well. And I'll give you another scripture, Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. And if you were to read that, in some Bibles, it'll have those words in red. And that's because Paul was telling King Agrippa what Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus when he was blinded. Remember that in Acts, in the book of Acts, where he was blinded for several days? And so Paul, when he spoke to King Agrippa, he told King Agrippa what Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus. And part of what Jesus said to him in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, Jesus said to him himself, he said, to open their eyes, that was to go and preach the gospel, and to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, or by faith in the Lord Jesus. And so that was what Paul told King Agrippa when he said, well, you've almost persuaded me, right? And then another wonderful scripture is Job chapter 22 and verse 30. In Job 22 and verse 30, says very simply that he will deliver the one for whom you intercede. That's the Amplified Version. Who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanliness of your hands. And so Job 22:30, we have the promise there where he says that God will deliver the ones for whom you intercede. Well, isn't that what you want to happen? Don't you want to see him delivered? Whether it's being bound by sickness, disease, oppression, or if a person who is in need of work, and you begin to look at them and say, well, you know what, I should be able to pray and assist them, and God brings work to their place, you know? And so Job 22:30 is a wonderful scripture. And so if you were to tie all of these scriptures together, what you would do is when you come to pray the word of God, you make it personal. And so you would come to the Father in the name of Jesus, and then you would write out these scriptures or have them all together, and you would put a person's name there for it. And so you would come before the Lord and you would say something like this. And Father, I come to you, because I've got a prayer here typed out, in the name of Jesus. You told me, or you told us, that you would deliver the ones for whom I intercede. And so I've come before you on behalf of all of my family this day. Lord of the harvest, I pray and ask concerning the loss this day, that you would send forth laborers into your harvest to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And that as they tell, that people are delivered from the bondages of sickness, disease, oppression and demons. And that you work with the word that they preach, as you did in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. You see, you're praying the word of God. Well, you see, isn't that what Daniel did when he read the book of the prophet Jeremiah? You see? And isn't that what the Lord spoke about in Isaiah chapter 55? He said, my word, he says, is like the rain that comes down from heaven. And so we put these scriptures, and there's many more, but we're just looking at a couple of these this morning. And so as you begin to pray the word of God, you know exactly what God is going to do. You know how the answer will come. The answer will always come through his word. Well, how do we know that what God's going to do? Well, because he watches over his word to perform it. God wants his word fulfilled. Amen? And so when it comes to praying for the lost, we can put faith into our prayers, tying it with the word of God, right? And then the Lord says, I am going to watch over my word to complete it, to bring it to pass. And you can walk outside and look at the rain coming down from the sky. You can see it coming down from the clouds. And you've had a couple of inches of rain here over the last few weeks. And you know that things are going to begin to turn green and flowers will bud, maybe out of season. But stuff will begin to happen because there's been rain. Well, the Lord says, that's like my word that comes down from heaven. It waters the earth and it will not return up to the cloud, up to the heavens, until it's accomplished that for which it is sent. And rain is sent to refresh and to give life. God's word is sent to change things, to cause his will to be brought to pass in the earth. Excuse me. And so you would say this, Father, your scripture says that I was found of those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask after me. Thank you for revealing yourself to those who are not seeking you nor asking after you. Lord, you commanded light to shine forth out of darkness, and as you did, so do I. I command the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to shine unto the hearts of my family or the lost this day in Jesus' name. Every person in some way who hears this gospel message, that they receive a revelation of Jesus Christ, which will open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in the Lord Jesus. So what have we done there? All we have done is pray the word of God. And so if you've prayed the word of God, then you've prayed the will of God. Amen? And so you can say, well, what is God going to do? God will do his word. Praise the Lord. And so if you have a prayer journal, you know, or you've got people's names written down that you like to pray for, or situations, then what I would encourage you to do would be to find scriptures that bring, that show you God's will, the answer. If it's a person who is unwell, who is sick, then put scriptures concerning healing next to them and pray those scriptures. If it's for people who have needs, financial needs, put scriptures next to there that have to deal with finances. If it's a person who's in need of salvation, then get those scriptures like we've shared here this morning and pray those scriptures concerning salvation. And when you look at your prayer list and you see these people's names or these families or situations' names, you look at their name, but you also see the will of God next to it. And you can go like this. You just look at it and you just hold your prayer list to your heart. Father, I just give you praise that you're watching over your word to perform it in each and every one of these situations. I thank and praise you and just begin to give him praise and glory. And so what you have done is that you have taken your prayer life and how the Lord said, how the disciples said to Jesus in Luke chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray. And he began to teach them to pray. And then in John 14 and John 16, he taught them more about prayer. And then we look through the whole of the Bible and we see how men and women and children prayed. And so we begin to put those things together and see how to have a successful prayer life. Praise God. And so one of the most joyful things that you and I can ever experience as a Christian is answered prayer. Amen? I mean, when you see somebody that you've been praying for and they come through that situation to the glory of God, right? And you see somebody come to Christ and get filled in the Holy Ghost, it just brings great joy. Hallelujah. Just wonderful. And so when it comes to praying, learn to pray God's will by learning to pray God's word. Amen? Amen. And what happens is that your capacity in prayer will begin to increase. And you may have faith in your heart just to pray for one or two people. Well, don't worry about trying to pray for the whole world. Just pray for those couple of people, right? And as you give yourself to diligently pray, and once you've prayed all that you can in the understanding, then that's where the Pentecostal life comes in. Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And praying in tongues. Praise God. And so begin to pray for them in the Spirit, like it says in Romans chapter 8. And see God move marvelously on their behalf. And I said before about an example, and the Lord said to me if I would pray and begin to pray 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with Acts 26:18, Job 22:30. And he said to me that, Des, if you would begin to pray for that, I'll show you how it happens. And so I began to pray that concerning the lost and those that I would come across each day, that I prayed those scriptures. And I was in a church, and I'd actually forgotten about this praying. I did it regularly, I did it in faith, and it wasn't too long after the Lord showed me this. And as I was giving the altar call in this church, there was an unsaved gentleman there. And in the middle of the altar call, he came up the front just begging for salvation. And so I stopped and the pastor came up. And this man wept his way to the cross. And a remarkable salvation. And anyway, after church, he came up to me. He said, Des, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He said, I need to tell you what happened. He said, when you were telling people about Jesus and how to be born again, he said, as you were talking about that, he said, shafts of light came from your eyes and hit my face, and it lifted a veil off my face, and I saw that I had to get saved. Now, isn't that exactly what it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? It shone, It revealed he got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I just sort of went, wow. I had no idea that happened. And to this day, I wouldn't have known if he didn't come and share it. But this was a man who was completely unchurched. But he was there that particular morning because his family dragged him. Right? I think he was living with them and going through a marriage breakup, all that sort of stuff. And may have been a coerced to get there. But you see what happened is that it happened exactly as the Word of God said. That God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone the glory of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into our hearts to reveal Jesus, the need for salvation. And when the veil lifted, he saw that he had to get saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so when you begin to pray for the lost again, begin to put those scriptures there and stand before the Lord in faith, believing. Amen. Praise God. Expecting God to answer your prayers. And you can do this in every area of your life in prayer. And one of the most exciting places that you can do when it comes to praying for other Christians is that to learn to pray the prayers of Paul through all of his epistles. And you'll find every need that you would have as a believer or for other believers, you'll find in Paul's epistles, in his prayers. In almost every one of his epistles, he says, and I pray this for you. And I remember you before the Lord praying this. And so to empower your prayer life, don't just need to stay with the Lord's prayer, but what we need to do is bring God's word before him. Amen? Amen. And you say, well, how do I do it? It's so exciting to search the scriptures and to find the word of God that gives the answer. And so what happens is, instead of praying the problem, you see, you can talk to God about the problem, but praying the problem doesn't fix it, right? You can. I'm not saying don't talk about the problem. What I'm saying is don't let that be where you stop in prayer. What God wants us to do is to pray his word, because that's what works. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's all I have to share with you.